Thistle Forever, a new supporters group, has launched a campaign earlier on this morning, and that's aimed at securing a majority shareholding for Partick Thistle fans. Now, this move comes about due to speculation around a possible sale of the club to a consortium with no links to the club, community or existing fan base. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Paul Goodwin, who heads up this group. And Paul, I suppose the first thing to start off on is to say, what made you come to this decision to start this?
Well, I've been watching it from afar. Obviously, we'll work with the Scottish Football Supporters Association, and over the years with various different clubs, has given me an insight into how community ownership at football clubs work, and whether it's the small clubs down at the Annan level right up to, you know, medium-sized clubs at St Mirren and Motherwell and larger clubs at Hearts. We now know that this is a model that works and has been successfully deployed across Scotland. And to me, Partick Thistle is a community club. It's vested in the community. It always has been. It's a certain size and scale which could make it very successful. And having watched for, you know, a few months now to see what this offer was, and nothing emerging that would actually tell us that Partick Thistle were going in the right direction, I think myself and my colleagues felt that maybe it was the time to step forward and actually say there could be an alternative to what might be proposed in the board at Partick Thistle, and that alternative of his community ownership.
You mentioned your colleagues, and I've gauged the reaction online, and some people are asking who exactly is it involved in this group, because, you know, you've got the consortium, and there's two names floating about linked to that. So who exactly is forming up your group at the moment, and is there opportunity for more people to join, whether that be signing up or in what way?
Yeah, I mean, I said to you as we joined, I don't have a wide collection of Partick Thistle fans that I know, because I spent 17 years in the South England. But it's just people I've been talking to over the piece, people working, you know, professionals. I'm not going to list the name, you know, go through a list of all the names, but they're all Partick Thistle people who are all professional people. I think I've already put some stuff out on Twitter and Facebook who some of the guys are. They're well-known Thistle fans. Quite a few of them are shareholders as well. So, but yes, this is a bit of a wider collective. We're just starting something. We don't have all the answers. We don't have everybody behind us. But at this moment in time, you start something off. In my experience, whether it's at Hearts or whether it's Dunfermline or, you know, Motherwell or St Mirren, is that you start the ball rolling and people come to us. We're basically a short-term group. We're not here to be another fans organisation. We're here basically to champion the opportunity for fan ownership, and once we've done that, we will happily pass on the reins to the existing Partick Thistle supporters organisations.
You spoke there about your kind of experience in dealing with these sort of situations at other clubs, so that should maybe reassure Thistle fans not only that you are one of them, but also you know what you're talking about, and that's something that's crucial for them, really, isn't it, to know that the person who they are dealing with and the person they are backing, whether that be just through support or financially, is someone who's well-versed in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, my experience of this was by accident. I had a friend who was a sponsorship manager at Stirling Albion, and they were going under, and they asked me to get involved, and I saw the only way forward was to do something radical, and that was in 2009. And that led to being Stirling Albion being the first club that became community-owned in Scotland. And others followed, you know, Stenhousemuir's a community interest company, Clyde, East Stirlingshire, and it was down at the lower reaches of the leagues. But eventually, in the fullness of time, I was approached by the Scottish Government, worked for them for several years, helping clubs who, at that stage, it was a different political and economic landscape, who got into trouble. And I'm not suggesting for a minute Partick Thistle on trouble, because we know they're not. It's more an emotional thing now than it is a financial thing. But, you know, that led to working at Dunfermline, at Hearts, and, you know, and giving advice over the period to other clubs who've emerged into this opportunity. And the great thing about community ownership is that more people get involved and more people volunteer. And this, as I said at the start, this is no more than us lighting the blue touch paper. We want all the Partick Thistle community to come forward. And absolutely, there'll be people out there wanting to challenge this. But we're happily provide the answers as far as I know it, and as far as, you know, we know, not just in Scotland but also across Europe. So what we're aiming for example, is the 50+1, which is common in Germany, and that's something that we're looking to move towards.
Just talk about the 50+1 fan ownership module, which you have said there, it's had great success in Germany, it really allows the fans to have a voice in their club. And a lot of people in Scotland and even Britain look over to Germany and the kind of how the clubs are owned, and the from the pricing to the free transport to games, and we won't touch on it today, but having a, be able to have a pint of the game as well. What does that model require, and how feasible do you believe that is for Partick Thistle Football Club?
Well, Partick Thistle in a unique position, as far as I could see it. Unlike some of the other clubs who have, you know, had to get, you know, huge amounts of capital to facilitate getting the ownership, or even just now, if you look at another club, you know, a similar size to Thistle at Falkirk, with the Back the Bairns, they are trying to buy 62% of the club. That's a huge chunk of equity they've got to find the capital for, and they've successfully through Back the Bairns managed to raise, you know, through pledges of about £800,000. But with Partick Thistle, the fans groups that are already there own, you know, a considerable chunk of the equity already, which is obviously held in trust, nearly 30%. So, you know, by default, we're in a position where we don't need to find an awful lot of extra shares to take us to that magic 50 plus one. And all that does is protect the interest of the club. As you said, in Germany, it works absolutely beautifully. The fans are really care passionate about it. And what it means is you have a controlling interest in your club. And all the major decisions, whether it's things about selling a club or moving a stadium or changing the name or changing the club colours, all the things that, you know, would really irk most fans of most clubs, can't happen without the approval of fans. So it's a really, really strong platform, and you just need to look at the strength of German football right throughout all the leagues to say it's a model that, you know, I think we should be aspiring to.
So quite simply, and will you believe that fan ownership structure, the 50 plus one model, could work effectively at Partick Thistle?
I don't see any reason why not. And I think what we've got to appeal to is the ordinary fan to say, look, do you want to be part of that? There's an opportunity to have more say, to be more involved, to look at the long-term sustainability of your club. But also to talk to those people who obviously want to sell their shares and actually convince them of the model that this does work. You know, let's get, you know, talking to Anne Budge, let's talk to Stuart Gilmer, who sold his shares out of St Mirren. Why? Because, you know, he was ready to move on, but not to just sell it to anybody, but to sell it to the people who care the most about that club, and that is the wider Partick Thistle community.
You've mentioned there about the importance of not selling the club to anybody. Now, this is maybe a concern that both you have and a lot of supporters do share, is the fact that the consortium rumoured to be involved in talks with David Beattie over taking over the club, headed up by Chen Lee and his partner Paul Conway. Why Partick Thistle for them? Is that really your main concern here?
Yeah, I think it's just a mystery to us. I mean, I've been around football clubs and the football politics for, you know, nearly 10 years, and I can't understand it. And when you talk to most people who know more about Partick Thistle than I do, we still can't understand how Partick Thistle would fit. There also is no example that we can actually find of this type of model where a small feeder club is actually better benefited by actually having a larger partner organisation. So it's a struggle to understand what the deal's all about. And I think there's also an element of transparency. You know, what is this deal? We're waiting for, you know, 2 months to find out what it is. All we were told it was transformational. What is a transformation? And I think what we want to say is, what we're talking about today is transformational, is genuinely transformational about Partick Thistle's fortunes. And what we want to say is there is an alternative. Now, you know, at least it gets the bait out there, and it lets, hopefully, at long last, the existing incumbents of those shares actually discuss why they want to sell them and why they want to sell them to this consortium. Then we can have the debate, is that a better model or is it not? I know all the fans that, you know, are part of our little group feel the model of us owning the football club forevermore is a far more attractive proposition than taking a chance. And that's what we're talking about doing. You know, I've had conversations today with Hearts fans and Livingston fans who've both phoned me up and said, we took a chance with foreign investors years ago and it ruined our club. Now, we don't know what, you know, this organisation are wanting to do with Partick Thistle, so we've no way of judging it. What we do know is at Nice and at Barnsley is that suddenly there was debt put onto those clubs. You know, Partick Thistle were in a unique position where they were debt free. Do we want to go down that route to chase something? What is it we want to chase? You know, so it's a really difficult thing to actually trying to fight against, because I don't know what we're fighting against. It might be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we might back down from that and say, well, you know what, this is truly transformation, but we don't know.
So you do concede on that point that it's about a lack of information, but at the same time, it's hard for the club to divulge, or for this consortium to divulge too much information while talks are going, and there'll be legalities involved in that, and I'm sure you know fine well about how severe they are. You can't really talk too much. That's something you'd have to concede, that they might have good intentions, but it's the lack of information that means it's difficult to understand what they are.
Well, I agree to a certain extent that there's due diligence been done, and you know, financial aspects and all that you can't divulge. I don't think it's a big ask in this day and age to be open and transparent with the people who are actually own the club. You know, the fans, the wider fan base, it's our club. And I think, you know, if you are truly wanting to either sell, so I think there's a duty of, you know, of care from the seller, but also the buyer, tell us what it is that you want to do. I don't think you need to get down to the minutiae of, and we'll, you know, we'll pay this manager so and so, and we'll have this type of player in there. But I think an overall heads up of what this scheme is all about and what the benefits are. So it's a matter of questioning. What are the benefits? How are Partick Thistle going to be a better place now than where they currently are? And I think that's got to be the starting point when we look at the two schemes or the two proposals. Up until today, there was no other proposal. This was the only thing. What we are now saying is, to those directors, to those people who are interested in selling their shares, obviously, we think the better way to run a football club of Thistle's size and scale going forward, and its unique place in the Glasgow community, is it to be owned by Partick Thistle people, because we know and understand it.
At the same time, and I agree with what you say to an extent, but just playing devil's advocate, to a potential investor, Partick Thistle is an attractive proposition, and for many reasons, and I think we've got a Scottish mentality sometimes to kind of downplay what we've got. But you've mentioned that there's no debt, really. A loyal fan base, albeit it's diminishing slightly over the years, and I think that's a concern. Also, the fact that it's a slightly fractured fan base, and I think we both agree on that, and we'll maybe talk about that a bit later on. But do you not accept that Thistle could be an attractive proposition for potential investors?
Look, I don't want to... It's my team. It's my club. You know, I love it. But history would tell you, and if you look around Scottish football, I think it's until we understand what the concept is. Now, you could argue, for example, oh, there's Partick Thistle. They've started, they've got a youth structure and an academy that's starting to produce players, a bit like the Falkirk Academy did years ago, which were selling on to Championship and Premiership clubs. But suddenly the person who was funding the academy is no longer there. So are they going to replace the money that was come in to do that? Is there going to be the new training facility? We just don't know. And I think, you know, that lack of knowledge is a concern. And what I don't want is to go back to a place where, you know, 5 years from now we're talking about Save the Jags. And, you know, you might say that, well, that's scaremongering. But, you know, the token... You know, the bottom line is we just don't know. What we do know with certainty is that at Hearts, at Dunfermline, at Motherwell, at St Mirren, they're not just, you know, taking them and embracing community ship owning. They're thriving both, you know, on the park and off the park in terms of how they're actually delivering that and how they're moving it forward. So I'm jealous and I'm envious of that. And I think that, again, it comes back to your philosophical stand. Do you believe that a benefactor who just pumps money in and wants to make money from your club is a better option for us? Realistically, how much money could you possibly make that would be worth the investment in Partick Thistle versus the opposite, which is, you know, make Partick Thistle sustainable for the longer term, which is the camp I'm in.
We'll go back to the kind of current ownership of Partick Thistle and the shares. Thistle Fan Groups currently own almost 27% of the club. You've stated that gaining a majority shareholding require an additional 24% to take that to 51%. Of that, Partick Thistle Football Club Trust, also known as the PTFC Trust, hold 19.28%. So again, playing devil's advocate, it could be argued that a kind of fan trust is already in place. So what sets you apart and makes this not a duplication of the kind of same, yeah, the same thing?
We're not setting ourselves up to be a fans organisation. What we are is a campaign group. My experience tells me, whether it was, you know, working in the Rangers crisis where the Rangers groups were all there, or whether it was at Hearts or whether it was at Dunfermline, that there's desperate fan groups at every single club. I remember my first meeting at Hearts when they were in crisis, and there was, I think, 14 different fans groups, and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't agree to where to sit around the table, never mind anything else. And, you know, the foundation of Hearts emerged from that as a unique entity, and it did become the vehicle. I'm not necessarily saying we become the vehicle. It would make sense, you know, if you were starting from a clean piece of paper, that the Jags Trust and the PTFC Trust would merge, that they would have they would have a unified fans organisation. It would be one member, one vote. Every season ticket holder would actually have a say. But, you know, these things, Partick Thistle has been, you know, plodding along under the radar, doing all the various different pieces, but it's not that different from what you find at most fans clubs, fans organisations. Unless there's a crisis at a club, the fans organisation is just, you know, do their own business, have a relationship with the club. It's either positive, negative, or in between. And we've been the same. So we're not there to duplicate or take away from what they do and some of the great work that's done by fans organisations. What we would like to get to, and in a new structure, if we were successful, is that we would bang the heads together and we would actually come out with a structure that meant all the Partick Thistle fans who contribute financially to the organisations actually have a proper mandate and a proper say.
Going off what you said, is there an acceptance that to force through your ideal final scenario that you'd have to work with these trusts?
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, we've written to them. I mean, we didn't, you know, write in advance of today to anybody really, because, you know, we did, you know, in terms of confidentiality and, you know, getting the message out there. We did write to David Beattie before today's announcement, and we did write to the chief executive of the SPFL and the SFA to let them know what we were doing. It's a matter of courtesy, and I was very pleased that the league and the SFA wrote back to us. And a subsequent follow-up from today's launch, I was invited in to meet Gerry Britton, which I did, and he assured me that David Beattie was more than happy to talk to us. I've known David for 10 years, so I'm very comfortable having that meeting, and we will sit down and talk this through.
Certainly the way I look at it, I know a conversation between two people in a private setting remains private, but just touching on your meeting with Gerry today and the hopefully, from your point of view, this eventual meeting with David Beattie, was Gerry positive today about what you're doing? Was there any kind of light you shed on that meeting?
No, listen, everything was done today in a very Partick Thistle manner. It was pouring rain outside, and I didn't want to impose us on the club and put them in an awkward situation. So we did it outside, and we did our, you know, our outside broadcast stuff and things. And Gerry, you know, come down and said, look, come up for a coffee afterwards and we'll have a blether. And it was very hospitable. We had a chat. I explained to him what our views were, what we thought, and he thought that, you know, David and the Esther shareholders would be interested to listen and to meet with us and to discuss it further. And I don't think we could have asked for any more than that. That was very positive. We weren't, you know, thrown out the building, or we weren't told to sit and wait for an hour. So I took that as really positive. There's a long way to go with this, and there's lots of bits, because, as you said earlier, of confidentiality and everything like that, that, you know, they can't talk about, and we've got to accept that. However, we know there's also other blockages along the way. The dual interest issue is one thing, and the concerns about, you know, the long-term sustainability of somebody else coming in that we don't know. And I would think if these shareholders have been shareholders of Partick Thistle for a long time, there must be something within them that are going, is this the right thing for Thistle? Now, if there was no other alternative to us, I could understand where they were veering in that sense. But if suddenly we go in there and explain it to them that there is a different way, and we can educate a bit about whether it is how fan ownership works in Argentina, or how it works and how it's emerging in Spain and Portugal, and obviously Germany, then you know, a light bulb moment might happen, and some of them say, you know what, that's actually, you know, that sounds like maybe a better option. So It was a courteous meeting. I was very happy to be in with the King of Spain, have a chat with him, and you know, hopefully we'll have a meeting in the coming weeks.
No, the King of Spain is definitely one of my heroes. Growing up, I still remember fondly the goal up against Dundee in the Cup. I was only a wee nipper at that time, but I can still remember it very, very well. Just regarding your meeting with the chairman, now, PTFC Trust has also been requesting this meeting. I believe in their last statement, they asked for one, and part of the statement reads as follows. We have now unfortunately been made aware by the chairman that it is unlikely any meeting between supporters, trustees, and the consortium will not take place until the SFA have dealt with the dual interest issue or when the share transfer has went through. Now, on the dual ownership, this is because they have control of Barnsley down south. I think there's a similar circumstance around Mike Ashley a few years ago as well. Do you believe this is any closer to being resolved?
Again, we're shooting in the dark. We've no idea. The Mike Ashley one is the test case, which says he wasn't allowed to own any more than 10% of a club in Scotland when he had a club in England. Maybe part of the time lapse here is they're trying to find a workaround solution for that particular problem. But it is a problem. And obviously it's got to go to the SFA board. My belief is it's not yet gone to the SFA board, but only the SFA will be able to answer that. So again, we're in the dark. And I think, you know, what we have to emphasise to David Beattie and his team is the response there to the PTFC Trust. I just feel in this day and age of engagement with fans, especially when, you know, the club that we own and love has been taken out with our hands, that the lack of information's not acceptable. We need to know.
I think a lot of supporters will share your concerns on that from being a Thistle fan and being on social media as well. You can see that a lot of fans... I mean, it is difficult for the club to say too much. We've spoke about it previously with ongoing situations, you know, the kind of legalities surrounding that as well as anybody. I mean, for a Thistle fan this summer, it's been an extremely turbulent time off the pitch. We've had Jackie Lowe removed from the board. We've had Colin Muir pulling out his funding as a result of that, I'd probably say. Just like to address something that we've spoke about off air is a comment in... from STV, they've put up an article and it's saying that Partick Thistle fans, listen to yourselves, want to bring back Euromillions winner Colin Weir to the club. All I can say is that something that you want to do? Is it a conversation that you've had with Colin at this stage?
No, I mean, I really don't know, and I think we've contacted STV to ask for that comment to be taken down because it's totally spurious. There's nothing in the interview that suggested that. I've never met Colin Weir. I haven't spoken to him. I haven't spoken to Jackie Lowe for a long, long time. We've not had those kind of conversations. I think, if anything, you know, if he was interested, seeing that headline would probably put him off. I don't know where they've got that from. What I did say, and just for clarification, I said, is part of the understanding what this is all about, that Partick Thistle had no debt, had transfer income coming in, and had a benefactor, a benevolent benefactor in Colin Weir in place. So whatever this transformational deal is, has got to be better than all of that because that's what we had. So that's where the mystery of this whole deal is all about. And us as fans, ordinary fans, are left guessing. But we've had no contact, we've had no discussion. And, you know, as I say, we've asked them to clarify where they got that from. It's a misunderstanding in their part.
You'd be very clear there that there's been no meetings with Colin Weir, there's been no meetings with Jackie Lowe. But you would be open to them in the future?
Well, look, you know, never say never. Anybody who's interested in Partick Thistle, I mean, we've had two emails this morning from people who are interested in being patrons. One of them said they would be interested in investing a significant amount. Now, it's easy. I've been around Fans Affairs for a long, long time. It's easy for somebody to send an email like that and it's, you know, in Thistle terms, a Clyde supporter, you know, having a laugh. I'll follow that up. We'll have the discussions with those people. They have given phone numbers and email addresses. But these things are very fluid. You know, I know from my dealings with other clubs, there are people out there who, you know, have genuine interests. So there might be somebody else. I mean, again, I go back to my experience with Stuart Gilman at St Mirren. Stuart tried to sell the club to five, six different people. And all the way along, he had concerns about community ownership, didn't believe it was there. But suddenly, Gordon Scott, a previous director, came along and said, I'll finance it and the fans can pay me back over a 10-year period. Now we're nearly 3 years into that. Gordon's running the club, there's fans on the board, it's working beautifully for everybody. And if you talk to Stuart Gilmer now and say, well, what about community ownership? He said, it's perfect, because he know in his heart of hearts, as a real St Mirren man, he's left that club to the people who care about it most, and that's St Mirren fans. And that's what we would like to try and aspire to for Partick Thistle.
There's been a lot of earnest comments put out in the media by fans, etc, etc. We won't go into them too much, but it seems there's been a bit of counter throw from the old board to the new board. Now, there's a lot of rumours around the time that Thistle would reduce their playing budget, which was refuted by the board. I think there was talk about £200,000 being removed from the player budget, and talk of there was four players meant to be brought in that would not be brought in, but it's transfer deadline day was last night and four players have come into the club, whether that be, it's not most of them are loan deals, but it just shows that it's difficult for fans not to hold on to stuff that comes out and stuff like that. What I would say is all this uncertainty off the pitch, it's almost like a circus, essentially, maybe one way to put it. It's not been helpful to the team on the pitch, and to Gary Caldwell, who did enjoy a good spell, good end to last season. There's a lot of positivity which has seemed to have kind of disintegrated over the summer due to mainly off the field circumstances. For you as a Partick Thistle supporter, how important is it the club, the fans, all come together, and this is kind of dealt with as soon as it possibly can be, so that the fans can get back to supporting the club on the pitch and getting right behind the team?
It's a huge distraction, there's no doubt about it. And you know, that's been one of the things, given my experience and the knowledge I've gained over the years and the people I've been talking to right through the summer, and one of the things we didn't want to do was to be a further distraction. And it's why this is, I would like to think, has been well considered. You know, there's elements of all the various different concepts that across different clubs that's been brought into this, and it's a fairly simplified form. What we didn't want to do was create more havoc and more concern. But as the time marched on and all these things were left to fester, we felt that it was only right and proper that Partick Thistle fans had something else to galvanise round and say there is another option. And so we overcame our own hurdles. We didn't want to cause more mayhem. We didn't want to, you know, be disruptive. But, you know, this now for us is all about the long-term health and well-being for the club. And it's, you know, it's arguing two different sides. Do you believe that part of a bigger organisation potentially might be a better route for Partick Thistle? Or do you believe it being a sustainable community entity that's almost a social enterprise is better? So it's a question of trying to marry those two things up. And I think most Partick Thistle fans will eventually lead in the direction of being that social enterprise, community-focused club.
Well, Paul, I appreciate you taking the time out to come and join us this evening. I know it's been a very long day that obviously started early doors outside Firhill. It's a pure, you're hungry, you've had another meeting at Hampden as well. Just to conclude, what is next for your group, and what do you see? I know it's almost impossible to put a timeline on things, but how do you see things progressing over the coming months?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we said in our press release that we wanted to put a date on it, because I think that's only fair that you've got a target. So we said, you know, the end of January, we would want to see some sort of progress. We're kind of in the lap of the gods because we're waiting on other people. We've asked for meetings with the Partick Thistle supporters organisations, and obviously we mentioned that we're going to meet David Beattie. In terms of the fans out there, you know, go and visit the website, read the documents. It's www.thistleforever.org. Most of the stuff, having been through this at various clubs before, should be fairly simple. I would also encourage people to go and, you know, Google the German structure, the 50 plus one, and learn about that, or community ownership in Argentina, or Portugal, or go and check it out. And more importantly, contact us. You know, pledge if you've got some shares and you think that we could add that to the number. I think it gives us a bargaining chip. I mean, I've put my shares in there. Or if you think eventually this is a model that you would aspire to, give us a pledge for whether it's £1 a month or whether it's £10 a month. That happens at Dunfermline, it happens at St Mirren, it happens at Motherwell and, you know, Hearts. So there's a model there. You know, we're not asking people for money up front, but we need an indicative idea that people are interested. And obviously our group is a small group of people. Come and join us if you want to get more involved. Let's spread the word and let's keep talking about it. Or if you're somebody out there who thinks that this is the right direction, come and talk to us. Maybe you want to endorse it. We'll gladly talk to you.
If you want to keep updated on what's happening here, just keep visiting the Twitter page and the website. Yeah, and the constant updates.
Yeah, there'll be updates in the Twitter and the Facebook page. They're the means of communicating in the modern world. We eventually, at some stage, will have some sort of public meeting. There's no doubt about that. If anybody thinks they've got the skill set who wants to join the small group of people who've put this together in the first instance, just get in touch. You know, the more the merrier. And, you know, please visit the website. And, you know, again, if there's any other information that we're going to have, there's certainly a lot of questions come up on Twitter. We'll do another question and answer and we'll load it onto the website and let everybody know. So, yeah, keep in touch. And it's all about communication. And that's a two-way process. We don't have all the answers. We know a fair bit about it. We're in that fortunate position. We'll keep people informed as best we possibly can.
Thank you very much for your time, Paul. We'll end it on a lighter note because it's been quite a serious, gritty listen. It's over half an hour, so to anyone who's taking the time to listen to it, I presume you're a Partick Thistle fan, thank you for taking the time out to listen to it. So we'll end with your favourite ever memory as a Thistle fan.
So easy for me. I was, I think, primary 7, and I went to Hampden Park one day, 23rd of October 1971, and at half time a Celtic fan come up to me and gave me a scarf and he said, "This scarf's been at Lisbon, son," and I saw a miracle that day, and this is your miracle, and that's live with me forever.
I can't say I was there that day. I was a bit before my time, but I'm hoping in the near future we'll get to Hampden and we'll win a major trophy soon. Paul, thank you very much for your time. He's gave the details. If you want to read more, pledge, find out more information, go to the website, look at our Twitter page, and hopefully we'll have some more news soon. Paul, once again, thank you.
Pleasure.